Hey friends, it's Harmon. You've tuned into another episode of Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. Today we are going to do a very special tribute historic episode on the late great Tim Conway. But before we do, you know we love it when you comment, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes. It kind of helps us out. And without further ado...
Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Doctor, if it's gonna hurt, please give me something to kill the pain.
Yeah, okay, well, got some Novocaine right here. Hold on that, Mel. Let's see how this works here. Okay, Novocaine. Here we are, Novocaine. Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle. Right. There'll be a little bit of pain, and then numbness will set in.
So what we just heard there was a clip from Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett Show doing the legendary Dennis sketch alongside one Harvey Korman. And of course, you tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am Harmon Leon. With me, of course, is Scott Colonico. Top of the morning to you, Scott.
Guten Morgen, Harmon. Oh, I twisted. It was a twist.
Yeah. So Scott, tell us what, just to recap, why we are doing a special episode on Tim Conway. Sadly, I guess I'll recap. Sadly, comedic actor Tim Conway passed away on May 14th at age 85.
Yes, so Tim Conway, the winner of 6 Primetime Emmy Awards, passed away. He kind of had dementia kind of towards the end, so he wasn't really himself. And then they had the whole thing where people and the members of the family were trying to fight over who was going to control his health. So, but he passed away.
Oh, we've already led this into our spinoff podcast, Bummer History 101.
Yeah, that's it, dude. That's all we'll do. We're talking about.
But we're here to, as they say, to celebrate Tim Conway.
Right, exactly.
the high points. And by the way, Scott, can you clear this up? Tim Conway. Oh, all right. Are you ready for your mind to be blown?
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
Tim Conway, is he related to Kellyanne Conway?
I don't think so.
Okay, but here's the mind blown. Tim Conway, he went to school in Bowling Green. Kellyanne Conway claims there's the Bowling Green Massacre.
Oh, that's right. Oh, dude, yeah, that's crazy.
So I don't know, related or not related, there is a link. Maybe she's giving the secret clues, like when the Beatles would drop things in that Paul's dead or something like that.
28F, man.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
A cigarette
so
in the wrong hand, barefoot.
If you're listening, any Alex Jones fans out there, maybe you want to investigate this.
Like a TV, make your own podcast or something. Yeah, it was interesting that you brought up Bowling Green because Tim Conway actually was from Ohio, a native Ohio.
Ohio Indian?
Yeah, no, Ohioan. Interesting, though, his father was Irish, you know, hence the name Conway. I didn't know about this. His mother was Romanian, and his original name when he was born was Toma, which is Romanian for Tom.
How do you know it's not Thomas?
That was the name.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. My God, we are reading the same Wikipedia page.
We are.
Yes, wow.
It's great. It's good. But as Wikipedia says, and we say as well, is that he lettered it, changed his name to Thomas. So that was kind of interesting.
Would have been the famous comedian that we know of today if he was Toma Conway?
Who?
Tim Conway.
I don't know. He could be. Yeah, who knows?
What is in the name?
Well, Mr. Conway, while we're just let's go do a little bit of his history before we get to the reminiscences. Mr. Conway was in the Army for a couple of years, and then after he got out of the Army, he went back to Chicago, went back to Ohio and kind of worked in local TV stations there.
Yeah, the Army thing, which I didn't know about, would later come back. What's the opposite of haunt him? Later come back to celebrate him when he was on the television series in the 60s, McHale's Navy.
Whoa. McHale's Navy, yeah. With Ernest Borgnine. But that was the Navy. He was in the Army. But what's interesting is...
Military, my friend.
That's right.
Yeah, Not too far off.
We're saluting all the troops here. And what's interesting is, so he got, like, a lot of the comedians we'll talk about kind of got their start on these local, you know, TV stations doing, sketches and stuff. And what Conway did is he teamed up with a gentleman by the name of Ernie Anderson at KYWTV. And way back in 1958, they would do, like, sketches and stuff on the TV. They eventually wound up doing a comedy album together. And they were kind of stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way Conway got discovered was that, back in the day, the Steve Allen people would send scouts around to the different local TV stations, and so they showed them one of Mr. Conway's sketches, and that's kind of how
can I clarify even more? I do believe it was Rosemarie was the woman who discovered who Comedy History 101 fans might know that she later... First Baby Rose, she was Baby Rose, and then went on to child actress, and then went on to be on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's right. Oh, but what was Baby Rose?
She was like, okay, there's a documentary about her, Mr. Co-host of Comedy History 101, that she started as a child actress, like a Shirley Temple type, Rosemarie, and was in vaudeville.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy long career. She was, yeah.
But that's a whole other episode.
It's a whole other episode. She's still alive?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. I'm throwing everything caution to the wind now, because I had no idea that Doris Day was still alive. You know, I don't know who's alive and who's dead. There's a website somewhere that keeps track of all that stuff.
Oh, Rosemarie passed away in December 28th, 2017. Whoa.
So, oh, wow. So not too far off the mark. Yeah.
And Doris Day not alive.
So the interesting thing is, like, as I said, Harmon, these were, like, you know, back in the day when you were on the local TV and all these guys would do everything. So Conway would write, and Anderson would write these comic sketches. And then also Ernie Anderson was also the local, like, late night movie host. You know,
Count Floyd. Oh, I love Count Floyd. Ooh, and his name scary.
His name was Goulardi.
She's special, watch Captain Penny, for whom I wouldn't give a nickel. Keep your eye on him, because he's, what you want? Roll the film, Julio. Who used to say that?
And so sometimes Tim Conway would, like, help out with him. We'll see if we can find a clip.
Oh, my God,
here.
Did you find any clips of this?
No, but we'll look, and if we do, it'll go here. But here's what's even better. Okay, so Ernie Anderson... Tim Conway's partner. His son. He had a son in Los Angeles by the name of Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's like a crazy episode in itself, because who's the butthole surfer guy?
Gibby Haynes.
Yeah. His dad was like a local, one of those local guys, too.
Yeah.
I think George Clooney's dad was sort of like a local broadcaster, but I think there's a couple other ones, if we dug deeper, famous people that we know of that had parents or dads that were like the local Count Floyd.
Yeah, no, man, that could be a whole nother episode. A whole nother episode.
Exactly.
But what's interesting is a minor side note here. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So Gibby Haynes' dad was like, he was on Dallas TV, and he would play a character. I think it was called Mr. Green Jeans or something. But also, oddly enough, Gibby Haynes' dad was in Dealey Plaza. When JFK got shot, and he gets interviewed on the TV, there's clips of them.
Oh wow! Was he standing next to Woody Harrelson's dad?
I don't know.
Ted Cruz's dad.
He was right there, and then when you see him on TV, you're like, oh, you're just like, oh yeah, that's Woody, that's Gibby Hayes' dad.
They
look a lot.
But people think that's like, and boy, are we digressing, but people think that's like, bizarre that, oh my God, this punk rock icon, it's like, dad was a local TV, but it all makes sense because it's like you grew up in show business, you know, and had like a creative sort of environment.
Which is a little different than Tim Conway, to go back to haul us back in. His parents were just kind of working class. But yeah, so he kind of got a start on the Steve Allen show after being found by Rosemarie doing these little comedy sketches with Ernie Anderson.
Can I interject here about the Steve Allen eras? Do you know who else was a regular performer on the Steve Allen show?
Let's see. Would his first name be Don?
No. It would be one Harvey Korman. Whoa.
Oh, wow. Also, but I have to correct you there in that actually Don Knotts, one of Conway's later co-comedy partners, was a regular on. He was a regular on the Steve Allen show, but they were never regulars at the same time.
Oh, wow. So wait, okay, two questions. So I believe when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman were on the Steve Allen show, it was 1964. They appeared together, but they didn't. I think they were both on the show, but didn't appear together. So when Don Knotts was on, that was after the Andy Griffith show or whilst it was going on?
That's a good question, Carmen. I do not have that answer in the Wikipedia page in front of me.
But yeah. Do you know who might have this answer? One of our listeners who could contact us via Comedy History 101, our website, or Instagram, or ComHiss 101. On Twitter.
Yeah, or you can send us a Twitter. We'll be reading our Twitter. We did get a tweet from somebody.
We
have tons of tweets.
Yeah, remember we have to read that at the end.
We'll read it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Then he moved on to McHale's Navy. Tim Conway, did you ever watch McHale's Navy?
I can't tell you like a plot of any of the episodes, but I know it in our lexicon, and I know.
Yeah.
Ernest Borgnine is one of our greats.
Yeah.
Who started it.
Yeah.
Do you ever see the movie Marty?
Of course, dude. Marty.
Who directed Marty? It was like one of those like Eli Kazans or somebody like that?
Eli Kazan maybe, because it was like a big play. It was like a big play for...
No. Oh, it wasn't so much the director. It was the screenplay. It was Paddy Chayefsky.
Oh, that was it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Who also went on to write Network, which is currently on Broadway.
Oh, is it?
The stage room. Yeah. With, what's his name from Breaking Bad? Oh, Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
Bryan Cranston, yeah.
Yeah, we could type that up in editing.
And Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. So, anyways, tighten this all together in edit, Ernest Borgnine, who starred alongside Tim Conway. Let's give a little nod to him from Escape from New York.
Oh, man. Cabbie. Dude, Escape from New York. You can't go wrong, man. You're living in New York now.
I know. I'm not escaping because I love it here.
Forget about it.
Oh, just another side note, and we can always edit this out. I watched part of another John Carpenter movie last night, They Live. Do you have any opinions on that?
Oh, yeah, man. They Live. Dude, it's awesome.
Really? Because I kind of fell asleep. I was watching this Shepard Fairey documentary, and he actually got Obey from that movie and even took the fonts.
Totally. Yeah, oh, totally. It's the same.
He took the same fonts. So I watched it because of that.
There's also that artist. I think her name is Barbara Kruger, I think.
Exactly her. Because I just watched this documentary last night.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same font and the same color and everything.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the history of art. We take from our inspirations and we create something new. Right. But I guess this is, we're already into another episode.
We're talking about
Ernest. Let's get back to Ernest Borgnine, which will get us back to Conway. Tim Conway.
Tim Conway is what we're talking about. I don't think I ever remember. I remember watching it in reruns, and I remember, for some reason, I remember the opening credits to McHale's Navy. And it was in black and white.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, again, Tim Conway, he served in the military, which is the Navy, remind you, is a branch of the military. Was it kind of like F Troop, but with the Navy?
Yeah, there was like a lot of that, a lot of the wacky Army shenanigans going on. Of course, this is right before Vietnam, too.
Yeah, so so I think after McHale's Navy, Tim Conway went on to a show, and I'll say a very short-lived show that we've actually talked about on this very podcast, Comedy History 101. Subscribe today on iTunes. We've actually talked about this show and dedicated a whole episode to... Scott, are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Drum roll. Turn On.
Scott, yeah, Turn On.
What do you know about Turn On? From
Turn
the
On is known as the show that was canceled before it was even done airing. Yeah, it was a short-lived sitcom produced by George Schlatter, a guy who also did...
I'll correct you. It wasn't a sitcom. It was a sketch show.
Sketch show, sorry. Also, guy also did Laugh-In. And the deal was, it was supposed to be a show run by a computer with the edgy comedy. And apparently it was so edgy that when the broadcast started in New York, you know, everything was time delayed for a couple hours. So many stations pulled their sponsorship during the airing that by the time it was supposed to go on in California, it had already been canceled.
Yeah, so two little trivia things about Turn On, which ties into Tim Conway. Well, first, it was George Schlatter who directed and created Laugh-In at the height of Laugh-In. So, you know, it's pretty much you could do no wrong, except when you do wrong when your premiere episode gets pulled halfway through airing. That's something you could do wrong. But second, one of the networks, or one of the affiliates, the ABC affiliates that pulled the show, was actually Tim Conway's hometown station of WEWS-TV in Cleveland, which refused to return the program after the first commercial break. And that was where Tim Conway got his start. So he was like the hometown boy made good, but they didn't return to it after commercial.
Yeah, so there's no, they won't release any copies of the show. You can see a few seconds online. One of Harmon's secret missions is to go to the Museum of Broadcasting in New York
and then film it with my iPhone camera.
But don't say that on the, cut that part out.
No, and I'm saying that so maybe Apple will sponsor the show and send me a new iPhone.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Free.
Yeah. So free we don't really know. We don't really know what Tim Conway did. There's a promo picture of him. He's like wearing a super cape for the Turn On TV show. I think that's about all we know about his interaction. And there's a couple clips online. Here's Tim talking a little bit about Turn On.
Turn On was a show that George Schlatter thought was going to be hysterical. And it kind of was, but it was way ahead of its time. I'm not sure, even if you saw it today, that maybe that time has also passed.
Yeah, so what happened? So Turn On, that was like, what was that, 1969? So
that was 1969.
Get ready for me to feed you into the next section. So Turn On, 1969. Please, pray tell, tell us what Tim Conway did after that.
Well, you know, Tim Conway went on. He did kind of have a comedy career. He was kind of a known star at that point. Before Turn On, he was also the star of a very short-lived TV series called Rango.
From out of the west came the gun known best. We're gonna Rango, Rango, Rango.
Which he plays a bumbling Texas Ranger character, along with his
was that a drama or like just like a Western like Gunsmoke type thing or
no it was like a funny Western thing, and he starred on it with alongside Ernie Anderson.
Ernie Anderson
appeared in a few episodes.
Ernie Anderson is his former sidekick.
Yeah, his farmer sidekick from Ohio. So they appeared in that TV series. You can find some of those clips online as well. We'll link them in our article at comedyhistory101.com. So you guys, if you're interested, you can watch those. But after the Turn On,
Can I just? Can you forgot one very important thing before of 1967's. It was actually 1967 was Rango. Because know why? I just went to the IMDb page.
Yeah, no, that's what dude.
Let's
we both got IMDb and Wikipedia opened.
Yeah.
I know how it works.
Yeah. So before that, after Mikhail's Navy, he appeared in one episode, and I only bring this up because he had a great name on the episode. One episode of 1966's The Red Skelton Hour. my favorite, because I only bring that up because Red Skelton is my favorite artist of creepy clowns next to John Wayne Gacy.
I can do an impression. That's my one impression. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I know
good
that
one. Good night. Okay, hold on. Good night and God bless. That was it.
And I already told you I infiltrated a Red Skelton infomercial. Like,
what's that?
I infiltrated a Red Skelton infomercial back when I lived in San Francisco.
Did you meet him?
No, he was long dead. It was like one of those infomercials where they have people give testimonials about how much they love Red Skelton.
Oh my God.
So I went on wearing like a ascot, and I just kept going like almost like I had a slight gay crush on Red Skelton. Like I would just go, oh, his skits. He was so limber as a physical comedian doing his skits in his tight trousers.
Oh my God.
But when he was on the Red Skelton Hour, Tim Conway, he played the character Phil Fumble.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, that sounds like a Tim
great
Conway.
Great name.
Tim Conway character.
Yeah, so what happened when... did you find any clips from his 1970 TV show, The Tim Conway Show?
Yeah, so here's a little bit of Tim Conway playing himself on the Tim Conway Show.
So what is it? Is it just kind of like a Carol Burnett type show, or
it was like a Carol Burnett type show, kind of a but like pre because this is before he was on Carol Burnett, and then mm-hmm. he kind of bounced around doing a bunch of like TV movies and things like that, and then he was pulled to be in the Disney. They put him into the Apple Dumpling Gang. He was in the Shaggy D.A., which was a sequel to the Shaggy Dog, and then the movie Gus about a mule who could kick field goals. So
he was. Oh yeah, and he was also in The World's Greatest Athlete.
I don't think so, dude. The one where he was. You're right.
Kind of pretty much am staring right at the IMDb page. Okay, no.
Yeah. All right. Is that the one with
Jan Michael Vincent?
That wasn't the one with Kurt Russell. That was a different one.
No, I think Jan Michael Vincent might have been at the day a poor man's Kurt Russell for the Disney films.
All right,
but I think he's actually the coach in this because he has top billing. He played Milo Jackson.
He was kind of the coach in Gus, I think.
He was kicking around, you know?
Yeah, he was kicking around, but then he kind of got his big break again, when he got invited to be a guest performer on the Carol Burnett Show.
By the way, please don't exclude this. You're going way too fast. the 1974 TV movie Roll Freddy Roll. Do you want me to tell you the plot of that?
Yeah, let me hear
it. And please, if you find a clip, drop this in. A man determined to impress his son and show up his son's stepfather. Ooh, this is already loving this. And you know that man is Tim Conway. Decides to try to get into the Guinness Book of World Records. How, Scott? How?
I don't know. You tell me.
All right. We know what the title is. Wait for it. By setting a record for staying the longest time on roller skates.
It looks like one of the records being challenged here today is the endurance record on roller skates. That's 147 hours, or 6 days. And here's the man who's out to break it. Hi there. Tell me, Mr. Dan.
Freddy Dan.
Well, Freddy, how long have you been in your skates?
My skates?
Yeah.
I don't know, about since noon, I guess.
Man, that was like two 70s things right there, back to back. The Guinness Book of World Records and roller skates.
Yeah, oh my God. Can I see if there's a trailer for this?
Oh no, hold on, I'm looking too. Oh dude.
Oh my God, here it is.
We got it.
Right here. It's the whole fucking movie. It's not a trailer.
The whole movie's online. The whole movie's there. Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I don't think it's a trailer because it was a made-for-TV movie.
The whole movie.
Let me.
An hour.
Okay. Can I describe what I'm... Wait. Oh, my God. This looks... Oh, he's playing tennis on roller skates. He has like a woman he's courting. He's playing tennis on roller skates. And another scene I saw of Roll Freddy Roll starring the late, great Tim Conway. He's in a three-piece suit in a business meeting, and he's falling all over the place.
Oh, God. This is not going to end well. Okay, he's going to skate into a bus. Okay, so anyway, that's out there.
No, you know what he's going to do? Because I told you the premise of the plot. He's going to skate into his son's heart.
Oh, my God. Okay, I love it. Oh, don't skip fast forward to the end because you don't want to see it. Go to 107.
Yeah, sorry. I should have prefaced that. There's going to be some spoiler alerts about Roll Freddy Roll.
Yeah, so if you guys want to like just save it, just go to the website, stop listening now, and you can see Tim Conway in the great Roll Freddy Roll over at our website, comedyhistory101.com.
Yeah. Okay. So Scott, I'm gonna lead you here to. Tim Conway, he's a known entity. He actually would be a regular guest performer on Laugh-In as well, which makes sense because George Slatter used him in Turn On. So he appeared in a lot of Disney films like The Shaggy D.A. Roll Freddy Roll, not a Disney film, but fuck, I want to see that whole thing. And then came, and also the John Davidson Christmas special.
Yes, John Davidson Christmas special.
And let's not forget the Billion Dollar Hobo. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Which I think I might have seen that one.
Disney? Disney once again?
I don't know. Billion Dollar Hobo. No, it looks wacky though.
Oh my God, this is... Okay, here's the plot of the Billion Dollar Hobo. Starring Tim Conway. Vernon Praiseworthy, already great script writing there, coming up with the character name, is a clumsy but lovable dope who stands to inherit his uncle's fortune. The only condition is that he travels the rails as a penniless hobo, just as his uncle did.
Clear the tracks. It's Wrong Way Conway and his dandy dog, Bo. Riding the rails to laughter in The Billion Dollar Hobo, starring Tim Conway.
Ooh.
Yeah. But what's the twist?
The twist is his son in real life actually ended up a homeless man. Ooh. Which is another dark Tim Conway rabbit hole I sadly went down earlier today. All right, now we brought it to a full halt. What's the twist?
No, the twist is that he gets involved in a dog napping plot.
A Billion Dollar Hobo?
Yeah. And we will also put these trailers online as well.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how does that turn out? The twist is he's on roller skates.
and here's the whole movie as well. Okay, all right. Anyway, so that's Tim. But before we're stopping before you know what Tim Conway.
Because we're celebrating the career of Tim Conway because we love Tim Conway.
Right, and then so Carol Burnett shows where probably most people know him from if you've heard of him.
Yep.
As various lovable characters on the Carol Burnett Show. Did you watch the Carol Burnett Show when you were...
Everyone, not only did I watch the Carol Burnett Show, but I saw her... did it only run 1975 to 1978? I thought it like was on TV forever.
I know, it seemed like it...
No!
She's been on it. Well, they had like all these various incarnations and stuff. Then there was like a Carol Burnett and Company and, you know...
No, I think because I saw her live at SF Skeptfest, and she talked about it was like forever that the show was on. Oh, no. It originally ran from 1967 to 1978. So,
What I'm seeing here, dude, is I beg to disagree with you, dude, on the air here. I think that it was on from 75.
Okay, so I have something here called the Wikipedia page of the Carol Burnett Show, and it's a, original episodes ran from 1967 to 1968. Oh, and in 1970, okay, yeah. So it was only in 1975 when Tim Conway became a regular guest star. After the Harvey Wagner left the show.
Lyle Wagner.
Harvey Korman, yeah. Okay. Crazy trivia about the Carol Burnett Show, by the way. Vicki Lawrence joined the cast when she was like 18.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett went and saw her like in a high school play because she kept writing her letters, you know?
Right, because she would do a Carol Burnett impression. That was like Vicki Lawrence's whole thing.
Yeah, she kind of looked like a younger version of Vicki Lawrence. Yeah. But she joined when she was like 18. You know, and then later, and the irony twist is later ended up playing Carol Burnett's mother in Mama's Family.
Yeah, Mama's Family, dude. Can't get wrong. So speaking of Mama's Family, this is like one of the classic clips. In Mama's Family, it was a sketch about a Southern family, you know, a Southern mother and her relations. And then Tim Conway would play like kind of like a dumb
dildo.
No, I don't want to say dumb. I want to say not feeble-minded.
Challenged.
He was kind of mentally challenged, but still, you know, functioning. Here's a clip that we're going to roll here. This is kind of one of the most famous excerpts where you can see the audience, you know, they would tape these live. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to, this is a bunch of different tapes of them trying to get this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw, Siamese, I know the clip you're talking about.
The twin elephants. So we're just going to, we'll roll a little bit here and you can just hear the audience. And to describe what's going on is that like Tim Conway's talking and every single person in the cast is either has their face buried in their hands or is looking at the ground because they're laughing so hard.
Yeah.
See, this elephant had this little dwarf trainer and just used to put a little ballerina skirt on that elephant. Go around in a circle and go, like that. That's why I thought it was so laughable at the time. There's a rumor going around the circus that dwarf and the elephant were lovers.
Yeah, and that was sort of Tim Conway's gift was he said in an interview that his goal of every sketch was to destroy Harvey Korman.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, so we the first sketch that we led off with The Dentist is probably the most famous one. We'll play a little bit more of that here. But what's interesting is going back and watching that sketch now is like how long, because the whole sketch is like 10 minutes.
Ah.
And for them, there's like 5 minutes of buildup, which isn't really needed. Basically, the setup is that he was a former vet. He's a vet dentist. Mm-hmm. And this is his first patient. And that's really,
you mean in the dentist sketch or in the,
in the dentist sketch.
Mama's Family sketch.
No, not the Mama's Family. Yeah, no, I think he ran the store in the Mama's Family. But in the dentist sketch, the setup at the beginning is that like this is his first patient, and he doesn't really know what he's doing, and he has a new set of tools. But it's so interesting to watch now because of like how we're used to such fast comedy.
I mean, we're just used to the YouTube clips. It's like, come on, sell it to us in the first 10 seconds. Otherwise, we're getting bored.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's none of that. Yeah, so there's about a 5 minute long buildup before they get to kind of like the classic bits, which is if you've never seen the sketch, Tim Conway as the dentist accidentally injects himself with Novocaine in his hand and then his leg, and all sorts of hijinks ensue.
Doctor, if it's gonna hurt, please give me something to kill the pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, got some Novocaine right here. Hold on that, Mel. Let's see how this works here. Okay, Novocaine. Here we are. Novocaine. Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle. Right. There'll be a little bit of pain, and then numbness will set in. So.
Yeah, so there's two folds about that. Was in that beloved era of the Carol Burnett show, like Tim Conway's goal was to always make Harvey Korman and the rest of the cast just crack up. And that's like one of the things you remember about the Carol Burnett show is the cast always cracking up at each other and breaking character. But, okay, so that was up until like 1975. But when a little show actually 1975 came on the air, and that little show was called, are you ready for it, Scott? Saturday Night Live. The premise of the show, or not the premise, the ethos of the show was to be sort of the anti-Carol Burnett show. You know, the anti, we're going to laugh at our own jokes.
Right.
But that ethos got destroyed during the Jimmy Fallon era.
Exactly. Dude. Well, you know what's so funny is that they would actually, I read more, in one of the histories, I can't remember which one I read about Saturday Night Live, they would say, like, if they didn't think the joke was going to work, or if people would, like, start laughing at it, they'd go, hey, that's too Carol Burnett. They'd use that as a, that's what makes it so kind of infuriating when you watch, like, Jimmy Fallon, that whole area. Era.
Yeah.
It was just like, they were just like,
you're going against everything that the show was started on. Scott, here's some trivia that's ready, gonna blow your mind.
All right.
Do you know this whole entire time that we've been just sort of going about our lives and doing things and just living, this whole entire time in recent history, are you ready for the part that's gonna blow your mind? The Jimmy Fallon show is still on the air. We just never really think about it. What's going on in that universe?
Okay. All right. That was good. I thought you were going to say it.
No, you just said, my point is like, he has just no relevance in the late night TV culture.
No, I mean,
bringing his guest on, playing beer pong with them, messing up Donald Trump's hair.
I think all those guys, but now they're all into like making clips for YouTube. That's really what all those late night things kind of evolved. You know, with what's his name, the
Colbert?
Conway. No, the other one,
Kellyanne Conway.
No, the British guy.
Oh, Corbin.
James Corden. Yeah, where they're doing the car karaoke and shit, and they'll put it on. They'll get like friggin' like 5 million hits the next day.
Yeah. On YouTube. So as I'll digress. Apparently, he's found his niche. Because that's like, that's what he does over and over and over again. It's like I never watched the Colbert show, but I'll watch his monologues, and that's pretty much about it. And I'll watch him on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You hate some things.
Yeah, but so thing, we've kind of got off was, track. Yeah. Oh, no,
a
go ahead.
Bit. Yeah. I was going to bring us on. Do you think Tim Conway was over on Stephen Colbert? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway.
And that's where our viewers can tune in.
Yeah, after appearing on the Carol Burnett show for 3 years, I think you're right. I see what I'm doing is that, let's say theoretically, if I were to have the IMDb page open in front of me right now, I'm just looking at the Tim Conway entry, which only goes from 1975 to 1978, and you're right.
Right.
And Carol Burnett show is on for much longer than that. So after he finished off the show got, they wrapped the show. It was been on for a while. Then he kind of bounced around. He did a couple more Apple Dumpling Gang sequel.
Yeah, so once again, that was his comedic partnership with Don Knotts.
Don Knotts, yeah. But to bring that a little bit further, after that, Tim Conway wrote and produced a couple of independent movies.
Really?
Along with Don Knotts. One was called The Prize Fighter, came out in 79. One called The Private Eyes, came out in 1980.
I'm looking at these, and why are they independent movies? Because they're just basically Tim Conway, Don Knotts movies. I was thinking it's like, he did like something like, you know, Pie or, you know, something, you know, like, you know, when I think indie movies, doing something experimental, you know.
He did
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dentist.
Requiem for a Private Eye. Requiem for Roll Freddy Roll.
Requiem for a Dwarf.
Why hasn't Roll Freddy Roll? I think doesn't that deserve a whole episode in itself?
I think we'll come back to that. It's a whole other episode. But independent, it means like, you know, he kind of like raised the financing himself, and it wasn't done by a major studio. And actually, the movie The Prize Fighter was like the number one top grossing independent movie of 1979.
Oh wow! And what's the plot of that? I mean, I can almost
predict. It's like a 1930s movie. Like, we'll roll the trailer here so people can hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner presenting Tim Conway and Don Moss. The story of two men and their climb to the championship.
You think you ought to get up first?
You just shut up.
Left, right. In the 30s, these men won the respect of the boxing world.
That was really stink.
I like the promo image.
Yeah, and so Tim actually wrote the screenplay, didn't direct it, but starred alongside his old friend Don Knotts. So they had that, and then the Private Eyes is kind of like a pretty much what the movie says, a pair of bumbling private eyes who get into all sorts of mix-ups.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb here maybe this is a potential spoiler alert, that it all works out for them in the end.
I think so, yeah. I would say that. You want to spoil things for people who want to watch Roll Away. What is it?
Roll Freddy Roll, dude. That's almost my new favorite movie I haven't seen.
I did skip ahead to the end of that Roll Freddy Roll, dude, and it doesn't come out well at the end of that.
He gets hit by a car?
No, did you see the end?
No, tell me.
Oh,
and no. Again, here comes the spoiler alert. What? How does it end?
Okay, the last shot in the film is Roll Freddy Roll, is you see a close-up of his roller skates,
yeah.
And then the camera zooms out, and his whole body is, he's in a whole body cast, but he still has roller skates on.
Oh, but he's probably won the love of his son, though.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, wow. What would be the sequel to Roll Freddy Roll be called?
I don't know, dude.
Roll Freddy Roller?
That wasn't the sequel, but he did star in Mr. Conway had a short-lived TV series called Ace Crawford Private Eye.
Is it kind of like a Ace Ventura Private Detective? Like, almost
It was like a spoof on Private Eye type movies and with Tim Conway in it. So if you could,
Tim Conway and little person Billy Barty.
Yeah, little Billy Barty, man.
And I don't recognize anyone else in the cast. He was a consistent great comedic actor. Cannonball Run 2. Let's not forget that.
And Don Knotts, they had a sequel. They were in there together.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, yeah.
They played off of each other.
It was a cameo, as you say. You know, the kids, they just kind of showed up and.
In the movie business, you call it day workers. They had probably like one day of shooting. They were day workers on it. Day players.
Yeah, this is interesting. So right after that, he wrote a movie called The Long Shot, which was directed by Paul Bartel, he was like one of those indie guys that did Eating Raoul, and then he was
oh wow.
I don't know if he was married to her, but he was like partners with one of the women who was in Andy Warhol's Factory. Yeah, it was like one of those weird kind of indie guys in the 80s.
Oh, it came out of like the Andy Warhol Factory days.
Yeah, but like his.
Did he direct Sleep? No, that's Paul Morrissey.
No, I don't know Sleep. Empire.
Yeah.
So, but the next thing that most people might know if they've heard about Tim Conway, and this is like kind of like what sent him off the charts here.
Yes.
Was the video short.
Wait for it.
Dwarf on Golf.
Okay, so for those who might not know Dwarf on Golf, could you just sort of describe it, Scott? It set off a franchise. Not to jump ahead, but here's my excitement. Dwarf goes fishing.
Yeah, no. We've got Dwarf in the first games of Mount Olympus. So, yeah. Harmon, I'll be happy to explain, because this is kind of interesting. This is the second time today this has come up.
Really?
And I had to explain what Dwarf was to a German person who was born in 1980. So this was my
oh my god on Dorf. Yeah. I'm just reading who co-starred in it, and it's go ahead.
So it's basically like, you ever seen those when it's like a funny thing where you get down on your knees and then you put your shoes on the bottom of your knees and you go, look how short I am. You ever done that?
Yeah, I mean, I know what Dorf Brown Golf is. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's what I was. That was my explanation. It's like that, but like an hour.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah, it was all physical gag, and it was all
physical gags, and but then the thing is, he kind of reused, so he uses his accent, his fake Swedish accent that he would use on the Carol Burnett show, playing the character of Mr. Tudball.
All I remember of Dorf on Golf is like him falling backwards, like completely falling backwards on his back.
There was a whole lot of that, but then there was a whole lot of, which is actually almost identically lifted from the Carol Burnett show, because he would appear. His caddy was it Vincent Kelly.
I'm gonna say, like, you might remember from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times.
Sorry. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Great character actor.
Oh yeah. So he was his caddy, and then like the Dorf would always say, can you go do something for me? And the caddy would go, but it'd take a long time to do it. And then the Dorf would make a comment about how long it's taken the caddy, which is exactly what he would do on the Carol Burnett show in the character of Mr. Tudball. He would always make fun of his secretary for taking too long to do everything.
Well, here we are on the fairway. Well, Leonard, with that well-trained caddy eye of yours, how far do you think we are from the hole here?
Far.
Leonard, why don't you consider getting to bed a little early tonight? I'd hate to have you miss a visit from the IQ fairy. Give him a 5-iron.
All right.
Yeah, the second banana. In the 1990, Dorf goes auto racing. His co-star was Tim Conway Jr.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
and,
who actually had, up until 2010, not that long of a career. But okay. But a career. Yeah. In the family business.
So we also got Dorf on the diamond. So I guess that was some kind of baseball thing that he would do. And then he starts popping up in a lot of while he's making money off the Dorf thing. So that was actually one of the first. That was 87 was when he did the first Dorf thing, and then that was like kind of another independent production where, you know, it was one of those straight to video things just meant for a home video market, and they did pretty well.
Yeah, I'm looking like pretty much. I think the budget on those was like zero.
No, yeah,
it cost them to whatever. But I think he made like a mint. Dorf on the diamond. Oh, he's a baseball player. Okay,
that's what I was saying. Yeah, and then what did it cost him? It cost him money to rent the camera and dig the hole to put his feet in.
Yeah, put on the suit.
This is a lot of sweat equity. This is a little bit more elaborate, where he wasn't just sitting on his knees. I think it looks like he had his feet, you know, actually in the ground.
Yeah, and another, I guess, like the two other notable things, like, he did tons. Like he was, you know, guest appearances on the Drew Carey Show, and he was in Air Bud, the Golden Retriever. He did a few episodes stint on Married with Children back in the 90s, playing Euphorium Wanker, because that show is all about subtlety. And he was a voice on SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then the woman that was in the Dorf, his assistant, her name was Boom Boom. She actually went on to do some other stuff too. That's interesting. She's in the movie.
Oh, what did she do?
She was in the indie movie Mary Jane's Not a Virgin Anymore, which is interesting.
What was that movie about?
It was an indie movie from the night, like right that first wave of indie 90s, you know.
Who's the director? Who else was in it?
It was just a woman I've heard of before, and she's passed away. Actually, she had some kind of cancer or something, but she'd done a couple. She was like a punk rock movie maker person.
Sarah Jacobs. Oh, I know this movie. There was like a San Francisco movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, so that was it. So the Dorf was successful for Mr. Conway. He did all right with that, you know? So, you know, more power to him if he's dwarfing it up as well. But as you said, yeah, he kind of bounced around for a while after that. And then kind of what people might know him from.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. Dwarf, oh, wait, hold on.
Dwarf in the tea time. Dwarf in the new toga. Dwarf in the convection. Dwarf in the angry. My God, it goes on.
Dwarf in the trial. I just noticed what was that, dude?
Is it Franz Kafka?
Oh, no, man. Dwarf is on the trial for the crime of the century in the world of golf. Holy cow. Oh.
Dwarf and the angry fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. We don't want to go into a dwarf hole, but like one of the other things that people might know Mr. Conway from later on in his career was he was a voice on SpongeBob SquarePants for actually a number of years, for about over 10 years.
We're stuck here, remember?
Why is that?
Because you forgot to fill up the boatmobile before we left. See?
Yep. I just mentioned that. Do you know his last? And we bring up the dwarf thing. His last TV appearance. I don't know if this was TV or whatnot. Was in 2016 called Chip and Bernie Save Christmas with Dwarf.
Oh my! I know. What's?
I think it's a Muppet thing. Was it a Muppet thing or?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. This is.
Oh, wait, full summary. Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, the puppets are involved. Santa's in distress. And then, Dorf plays their favorite elf.
Okay, yeah.
And I guess the kind of spoiler alert in the title, I guess they end up saving Christmas.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with saving Christmas.
Yeah, so I think we kind of did a big deep dive into the history of Tim Conway. Unless you have any other takeaways, Scott?
No, I mean it was just I wanted to make sure we were timely. I grew up kind of in the 70s, so I remember Tim Conway as kind of a comedy fixture. So it was nice to kind of delve into him a little bit and kind of share some memories that we do have. I do remember some of these classic Carol Burnett sketches, and he was always pretty a funny character.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much as iconic as, a largely TV funny man could be. I think you would maybe sum him up as probably one of the classic second bananas.
Yeah, definitely.
He was always sort of a second banana in things like, along with Harvey Korman or, McHale's Navy, he was a second banana. Dorf, definitely first banana.
He's the first banana. There's only one banana in Dorf, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, just one of the iconic, TV second banana icons of all time.
Yeah, man. That's interesting. So, yeah, they were doing, he bridged the gap into like the YouTube era. He was working on a site called I Spot Santa as the Dorf character.
Yeah.
Where Dorf helps Santa deliver presents and works at the North Pole as Santa's elf. So, yeah.
Yeah, so again, Tim Conway, we've talked about him before on the Turn-On episode. I guess we'll have to do a deep dive into Carol Burnett one of these days. But, I think
plenty of time. We'll come back to it.
So a man who's had, a career that spanned decades. And if you look at, comedic actors, that's kind of a hard thing to do.
Yeah, no, he did it. He made it from black and white all the way into color in the internet. So we salute you, Mr. Conway.
And before we jump into Plug Away, it's time for Viewer Mail, though they're listeners. And Ed Matisic writes via Twitter, which you can also write to us via Twitter at ComHiss101 on Twitter. Referring to our Slipping on a Banana Peel episode, he writes, another banana. In that great 1960s movie tribute to great comedians from Phil Silvers to Jonathan Winters, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, Ethel Merman slips on a banana peel in a hospital ward full of comedians in traction. Hilarity ensues. Well, thank you, Ed. And if you want to comment like Ed, be sure to contact us via our website, Comedy History 101, via Twitter, ComHiss101, or via Instagram.
Hear, hear. And with that, I think it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, I'll just keep plugging the same thing. As you know, Harmon produced and I wrote and directed a movie called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth, But We're Afraid to Ask, which is now on the festival circuit. Coming up, you'll be able to see it at Telluride, Colorado at the Mountain Film Festival at the end of the month. And then in June, we'll be premiering at the AFI documentary, American Film Institute Documentary Film Festival in Silver Springs, Maryland. So that's pretty exciting.
Here, 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 here. Yeah. And in the short term, what I have to plug is this Tuesday, May 21st, 8 p.m. at Planet Rose on Avenue A in New York City. I have my legendary show, Jokey-Okey, stand-up comedy karaoke in a three-round game show. Why should you come out? Because the show is going to be at the Kennedy Center in September.
Oh, my God. Oh,
so
my
this is
God.
The road to the Kennedy Center, and you can see it on a very, very personable, friendly venue in the Lower East Side. So with that, thanks a lot for tuning into another episode of Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. Thanks a lot, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am. I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am. This is... Yes, ma'am. This is... This is the president.
Hey, everyone. Scott here. You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump, we cover all your favorite presidents. And not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And, if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President, subscribe, and together we'll make America great again.